It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutrition counseling for all health problems. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank all of you for listening today. You know, remember, next week we have a new time. On Saturday, March 7th, our new time will be 8 a.m. I keep saying 8 a.m. So please tune in. You know, you can be having your tea and you can be cooking your breakfast and we'll be here ready to go. So I'm really pleased today to have Christina Swigert join me as our co-host. Christina has a master's degree in nutrition. She's a licensed nutritionist. And Christina, maybe you don't realize this, but we have actually been working together for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't found one thing that you're not an expert at.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Plus, you're one of the easiest people to work with and someone I can always depend on in any given situation. And I love that.
Well, thank you, Dar. And time does go by fast. Actually, I think I mentioned to somebody the other day how long I've been at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Time does go by really fast. And we're very pleased today because we have a great guest. We have with us Dr. George Shavaro, the author of The Fertility Diet, and he is joining us by phone to discuss his very interesting nutritional findings as they relate to fertility. Dr. Shavaro is a medical doctor and a research fellow at the Harvard School of Public Health, and he is the co-author of The Fertility Diet, which he wrote with Dr. Walter Willett.
And it's interesting to know that 1 in 7 American couples are now experiencing fertility problems. You know, usually when couples experience fertility problems, they seek out kind of high-tech medicine and not nutrition. So as nutritionists, we were so happy to have this research to support our nutritional approach to solving fertility problems. So let's welcome Dr. Shavaro to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, Dr. Shavaro, welcome, and we really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me in your show.
You know, you are actually talking to people in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, and I know that they're going to have a lot of questions for you because we kind of promoted the fact that you were going to be on our show. You know, you put together a big research study when you wrote this book. Can you kind of describe who you had as subjects and where did they come from and how did you get all these women together to do this for you?
Well, we used data from a very, very large study of women called the Nurses' Health Study 2, which is a study that involves approximately 110,000 registered nurses from all over the United States that have been faithfully following up with us and giving us information about their diet and about diseases that have been arising over the years since 1989. And every other year we contact them and we ask them to update information on how they're doing and what their diet is. And one of the things that we have been collecting information for many, many years is actually on pregnancies and on whether women have been having trouble getting pregnant. So we identified a group of approximately 18,000 women within this large cohort who at some point during this time either tried to get pregnant or failed, tried to get pregnant and were successful, or had issues trying to get pregnant. And we related their dietary habits to whether or not they had problems getting pregnant over this time.
So, Dr. Shavaro, you had about 18,000 nurses in this study. That's a mm-hmm. nice size. It wasn't like 100 people. It was 18,000 people. That's very nice. And you had nurses because they seem to record things very well, as most nurses do.
Right.
So you had pretty
real. Yeah. So that. that's actually one key advantage of our study, the fact that everybody within the study is a health professional. It gives us and is also very, very interested in health issues. Makes them great people to work with and to collaborate with in getting this type of information that we collect in this very large study.
Well, that's great. So for a lot of people, and it seems like this is the case at our office with all the nutritionists, conception seems almost too easy, but as most of us know, for a lot of others, it's a very complicated process. So maybe you can just tell people some of the general things that can go wrong in a person's body that might prevent them from getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Well, so infertility is really, isn't really one single disease, as say, for example, myocardial infarction or a specific type of cancer where you can pinpoint your finger to what it is that things are happening. In clinically, you define a couple as infertile when they've been trying to get pregnant without success for 12 months or more. And if the woman is over 35 years, these criteria is sometimes relaxed to trying for 6 months or more. So it's that is what classifies a couple as infertile.
So most, Dr. Shavar, most couples, if they want to get pregnant, most people can get pregnant in 6 months or a year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so approximately half the couples who start trying to get pregnant within the first 3 months. And approximately about 80% of couples get pregnant within 6 months. And with the other 6 months, you start identifying couples who have some minor issues with fertility but can still get pregnant. And if you wait an entire year, you have identified the group that really has something serious going on that requires some medical attention. So among the couples that go for more than 12 months without getting pregnant, there are several main factors that are identified as causes of infertility or diseases related to infertility. So the two top ones are ovulatory disorders, which is a large classification which encompasses any disorder that affects ovulation, the most common of which is polycystic ovary syndrome. The second big diagnostic category is male factor, which again is an umbrella term for many, many disorders or unidentified conditions where there are issues with either the quality or the count of the sperm in the male partner. And from then there's less common conditions like tubal disease, so when the fallopian tubes are completely blocked, endometriosis, which is a condition where the endometrium, which is the internal lining of the uterus, grows in places it shouldn't be growing, and that can affect fertility, and more rare conditions like immunological disorders and so forth. So we actually were interested in things that could be potentially modifiable. And we focused our efforts in identifying what dietary factors could predict for a woman experiencing infertility due to ovulation problems as she tried to get pregnant.
And when you look at all the things that you just talked about, what ones were influenced by nutrition the most? Was it like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so as I was just telling you, we decided to focus our efforts initially on identifying risk factors for infertility due to ovulation problems, because it's, as a single diagnosis, is the most common one
for
infertility. And it's also potentially modifiable. So, for example, if you have blood fallopian tubes, it doesn't matter how much exercise, how much, what your diet is, what your general lifestyle is, that is not going to unblock the fallopian tubes.
Right. Yes, yes.
When you looked at the research data, you found, and you talk about in your book, two very important food groups to eliminate, trans fats and processed carbs. And, of course, we tell listeners every Saturday to eliminate those. What were some of the things that you found, ways that trans fats really interfere with fertility?
Yeah, so We actually ended up identifying about 10 different dietary factors that are associated with fertility due to ovulation problems. Mm. And there seem to be two main underlying mechanisms explaining these associations. The first one had to do with insulin sensitivity. So as you know, there's many what you put in your mouth actually has lots of metabolic consequences in your body, one of which can be how high your insulin rises after a meal. And if you have very high spikes of insulin rising after a meal, over time your body becomes resistant to the action of insulin, and that can lead to different conditions, the most extreme of which is going to be type 2 diabetes. But between being completely healthy and being type 2 diabetic, there's many intermediate conditions that and other bodily functions that can be affected, one of which is ovulation. It happens that as your body becomes more and more resistant to the action of insulin, your blood levels of androgens, of male hormones, start to rise, and that tends to make it harder to ovulate on every cycle.
You know, Dr. Shavaro, when we put it in down to, like, you know, a little more basic knowledge to people that are trying to change their eating to become mm-hmm. pregnant, you know, a couple of things that we tell people, because they, you know, they don't understand really that when you eat cereal or when you eat or drink Mountain Dew or, mm-hmm. you know, you eat sweet rolls or donuts or chips or pizza, all those things are high sugar foods. So that's what we call high processed carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to spike up their blood sugar and increase their insulin resistance. And mm-hmm. it's kind of going right back to that very basic for people to understand that these very processed, you know, the beer and the pizza probably mm-hmm. do not support, you know, ovulation, and it doesn't support pregnancy. And it's getting really down to that kind of basic information for people a lot of times. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that that is exactly true, and that what people don't realize sometimes when they're talking about making changes in their diet is how some of changing from a very unhealthy dietary pattern to a more healthy one is not really that hard. And it sounds more daunting than it actually is. It's just a matter of getting used to it. So, for example, changing refined carbohydrates for the whole grain version of the refined carbohydrate is a relatively simple change. And in the United States, we can actually find a whole grain version of pretty much anything we find refined, including cereals, breads.
I think, Dr. Shavaro, the place that it becomes a little more difficult for people is to start eating more vegetables, actually, mm-hmm. and to
yeah.
put those into their diet.
Right.
You know,
Dr.
Shavaro, we have to take a quick break here. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition for all health problems, including fertility issues. Remember, next week the showtime moves to 8 a.m. Saturday morning. Some interesting research that came out this week. You know, there was a large study from Great Britain that found the women that were drinking even one glass of wine per day increased the risk of developing many types of cancer. So I think what it does, it points out again that 90% of our health is what we're putting in our mouth, and only about 10% comes from our genetics. So if you have questions for Dr. Shavaro, our number here today is 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. I'm here today with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist. And our special guest today is Dr. Shavaro, author of The Fertility Diet. So if you are out there with questions about fertility, we have an expert here with us. So feel free, give our office a call, 651-641-1071. And an interesting fact that Dr. Shavaro found in his research about foods that interfere with fertility Guess what the evil culprit is? Something we talk about a lot, trans fats. And he found out that the more trans fats in the diet, the greater the chances of ovulatory fertility, infertility.
So, you know what? I thought maybe we would share, Christina, before we go back to talking to, with Dr. Savaro, maybe we could share a couple of examples of people that we have worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a beautiful example myself, is that I have a client that is 40, let's see, she is 44 years old, and she has been building up her nutrition for the last 3 years to be able to become pregnant.
And this is her first, right?
And this is her first baby, and she is pregnant now.
That's great.
And things are going well, but it really took, and we did work together for 3 years of building up her body and building up her nutrition until she was able to conceive. So,
wow.
I don't know.
That's
and
great.
Do you have any wonderful stories
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I actually got an email just yesterday from a client, and so I was perfect. I sent her an email back. She said I could read part of her email, and she said, I came to see you about a year ago while I was taking the six-week class. I was having trouble getting pregnant, and you helped to change around my supplements. Well, I did get pregnant and had my son at the end of November. Thanks so much. I truly believe you helped us to get pregnant. It means the world to us.
You know,
I love those emails.
Yes. You know, Dr. Savaro, we have a saying on our show that food can either be the problem, or we believe that real food is the solution to most health problems. And so it's helping people really make those changes in their dietary habits. You know, that's what we kind of specialize in. You know, before we went on break, Dr. Savaro, we were talking about how does trans fats actually interfere with conception. You know, maybe if people really understood that when they eat that cereal bar that's got partially hydrogenated fat, or when they eat, think of another food that's loaded, you know, a donut, of course.
Yeah, donuts.
You know, a muffin at the coffee house.
Mm-hmm. Some protein bars out there have them.
Yeah, all those things. But how does it actually interfere with those bad fats? How do they actually interfere with the conception?
Well, it turns out that fat are not just calories, and different types of fat have different types of actions and can actually bind receptors that are supposed to be for hormones and cause hormone-like activities in the body. And trans fats can actually do that. So trans fats can actually make your body more resistant to the action of insulin by interfering with the action of a receptor for a hormone within the nucleus of the cells, called PPAR gamma. And when it happens, when trans fats block these receptors, your body becomes more and more resistant to the action of insulin. And that is why trans fats have been associated with diabetes, and that's also why we think trans fats are affecting ovulation. As you become, as I said earlier, when you become more and more insulin resistant, your blood levels of testosterone and other androgens start to increase, and that makes it harder for your body to ovulate. So it makes a lot of difference what type of fat you put in your mouth, and not the fact that it's just fat. And we actually found that when you replace trans fats for monounsaturated fats, such as the types you would find in avocados or many vegetable oils like olive oil or canola oil, that change actually made a big, big difference. Mm-hmm. Such that when you were having a lot of trans fats as opposed to monounsaturated fats, the risk of infertility due to ovulation problems more than doubled, which is a very, very large difference, even when compared to other risk factors for infertility.
Let's eat our avocados.
you could replace your trans fat Latin French fries with avocados, for example, and that would be a good change.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find Dr. Savaro working with people. I mean, and it doesn't matter if they're 18-year-olds or sometimes when they're 70-year-olds. That, you know, when I say, you know, put olive oil in your pan and then put a little bit of salt and then put your butter or put your vegetables in there with your olive oil and saute those lightly, they, at least in Minnesota, they are not used to cooking that way for some reason. And mm-hmm. but it's such a simple way to get more vegetables. And I have that for breakfast every morning. Yeah. Is I had pea pods and carrots and broccoli and cauliflower and a couple of eggs, and those are that's kind of the way that we eat at our house. Mm-hmm. And I bet that's the way you eat too,
right,
Christina.
Yeah. Another thing I like to do, just to give more examples, people always like that, is take Brussels sprouts. And a lot of people don't like them, but they're so good for us. And I put olive oil and salt and pepper over them, and then just roast them in the oven mm-hmm. for a little bit. And they taste great. They get a little crispy, and it's a great way to make those tasty. And there's so many rich nutrients and vitamins in there.
You know, I think we've all gotten, it seems like people have in the past been eating all these refined, damaged fats, and to get people to start replacing it with olive oil and avocados, and it makes a big difference with their blood sugar and also with their fertility. And it's getting them to do that, though,
right,
sometimes.
And not doing all the low-fat things. It seems the most interesting find in your study was for a woman to give up skim milk and turn to whole milk. And we've been telling women this for years, but now there's actual research. So were you surprised to see this in the studies at all, or any of the people on your team?
Well, we actually were not quite sure about what we would find with milk, because there had been conflicting data
right.
on whether milk and dairy, what their effect on fertility would be. So on the one side, it's very well known that when you give galactose, which is a part of the sugars in milk, to rats in very, very high amounts, they eventually develop early menopause. Hmm. So it had been thought for a long time that that the more dairy a woman ate, the more likely she would be to become infertile and to have early menopause. But that had only been done in rats, and when the first study in humans came out, looking at whether milk or dairy products would have any impact on fertility, they actually found that women who consumed more milk had a very, very low risk of being infertile compared to women who did not drink milk. But this study did not look at whether this was different for low-fat milk or for whole milk. This was done among farmers in Wisconsin. So we suspected that probably lots of that milk was not going to be skim milk.
Probably,
and
that's true. Mm-hmm.
Probably not. So we wanted to look at whether there was any difference in terms of fat, on amount of fat. And what we found was that women who consumed whole milk and other high-fat dairy products, but the most important was whole milk, actually had a reduced risk of infertility due to ovulation problems, whereas women who were consuming skim milk had a higher risk of infertility due to ovulation problems. And this was seen at very, very low intakes of milk, and so that you could see very, very strong, statistically significant effects at about one serving per day, which is really a really small amount of milk.
So just think about that. It's going, and I know, working with different couples, that getting them to go from skim milk all the way up to whole milk, mm-hmm. We have to take it in steps. You know, we go, we do 1%, and then we do 2%, and eventually we do whole milk. So, Dr. Shavar, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, an organization bringing you life-changing nutrition education. Dr. Shavaro's research found that a balance of saturated fats, polyunsaturated fats, and monounsaturated fats were the most beneficial for fertility. All are essential for providing the best fertility. But, again, trans fats should be totally eliminated. If you have questions for us today, it's 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we are discussing the role nutrition plays in fertility today. Because of the snowstorm last Thursday, we had to cancel the Weight and Wellness class in Burnsville and Anoka. So if you are still wanting to sign up for those classes, you can, and they are wonderful, life-changing classes. You know, if you are trying to get trans fats out of your diet, we will teach you how to pick foods without trans fats, what to look for when you're shopping. If you're really trying to stop drinking pop, we have the Stop Pop Solution. And if infertility is an issue, research indicates that trans fats and soda really need to be out of your diet. So, you know, take the Weight and Wellness series to get rid of those bad habits and to start to replace them with good habits. And you can call and sign up today. Call our St. Paul office at 651-699-3438. Or you can always check out our website for more information at www.weightandwellness.com. And if you have any questions today on fertility for Dr. Shapiro, feel free to give us a call here at the studio, 651-641-1071.
And really, the teachers that are the Burnsville teacher and the teacher in Anoka, they're great teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all of our teachers are good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just, you know, wanted to. Because sometimes if they're like myself, I don't sign up for a class until it has already started, usually.
Oh, sure.
So this is a good opportunity to still get in and sign up for these classes.
Right.
Now, we were talking before break, we were talking about full-fat dairy products as being beneficial for fertility. So, Dr. Shapiro, now, we have people that just, they don't want to drink milk. They don't drink milk. They would hate to drink milk. What other kinds of things would be full-fat dairy products that would be okay?
Well, actually, when we look at full-fat dairy products, we were very intrigued by defining and looked at what other specific full-fat dairy foods were associated with reduced risk of infertility, and it turned out that there were only two foods. One was whole milk, which had the strongest effect, but the other one, I think nobody's going to dislike it, was ice cream, and at very, very low quantities, actually, so that having the equivalent of about one cup of ice cream per week had the same association of the whole milk.
Now, as nutritionists, what we would recommend if people are going to go out and pick ice cream,
mm-hmm,
is that you pick full fat, and then you look on the label, and you do not pick one that has high fructose corn syrup in it. And you really, you know, you have to pick up every container.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, we would recommend organic if possible. But you still have to look at the label,
right?
Because some of those have high fructose corn syrup,
right? Or if they're mixing a candy bar in it, you're going to have hydrogenated oils, even if it's full fat ice cream.
Yeah,
you got to watch.
So it isn't just going and picking up any kind of ice cream, is it?
Exactly. Yes.
You have to be careful consumers, and you have to know a lot when you're changing your eating to make it easier to get pregnant and increase conception possibilities. So a lot of information.
Right. So what was the third food that you guys found as far as full-fat dairy?
Well, actually, the other foods didn't seem to have that strong effect as milk and ice cream.
Okay.
So not yogurt or cottage cheese
actually,
or something?
No, not yogurt, not cream or sour cream, not cheese. It really seemed to be these two foods for some reason.
Oh, that's very good to know.
I mean, the one comment I would make about the full-fat dairy is that, I mean, it is well known that full-fat dairy over time can actually increase the risk of heart disease. And so I think that it would be prudent to do this as a temporary measure while trying to get pregnant and not establish it as a lifelong dietary pattern, unless you're able to cut saturated fat from your diet elsewhere, like, for example, eliminating animal sources of protein, which would be other major carriers of saturated fat.
Well, you know, I think in your book, Dr. Shapiro, you mentioned that for fertility at least, about 8% of your calories would be coming from, a saturated fat. I loved your calculation in your book because you said that would be about 7 pats or 7 teaspoons of butter a day. And
that's a lot.
I thought, that is not, that's a lot. That's not a moderate amount of butter. Actually, that's more butter than we would probably recommend.
Yeah.
So when you really calculate this out, it isn't as though you're having a half a teaspoon of butter a day.
Mm-hmm.
You're having 7 teaspoons of butter per day to increase fertility. And,
yeah.
You know, that, it, that I thought that was eye-opening.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
That because we, you know, as nutritionists, we recommend butter, and we recommend olive oil, and we recommend, for polyunsaturated fats, we recommend raw nuts or real nuts. And so we try to stay away from any of these refined oils. And so it was really nice. You know, I have to say this. We have to take another quick break, so... We'll be back in okay. just a minute. Welcome. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and I wanted to point out something. If you live in the Prior Lake area, I want to alert you to a fun Ladies' Day Out. It's sponsored by Prior Lake's Park and Rec Department. It's a Saturday, March 14th, and the cost is only $38, and it includes breakfast and lunch. But the best part of the whole day is going to be our nutrition educator, Mary Hoggy, will inspire and educate you on how to take the nutritional approach to having more energy. And if you are interested in that day, call Lori at 952-447-9823 and sign up and have fun. So we'll be back in a minute.
Singing bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here today with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist. And our special guest today is Dr. Gervaro, author of The Fertility Diet. And I just want to highlight another class that definitely would be helpful for anybody who's struggling with fertility, especially if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, or for anybody else who just wants to have good health, and that is our class, Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster. And we are teaching that this Monday evening, March 2nd, at our White Bear Lake office. And if you want to register, feel free to call. You can call St. Paul today at 651-699-3438, or you can call the White Bear office on Monday, 651-773-0000. And Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster gives you great tips for helping keep that blood sugar balance, getting out those processed carbs, the good fats, everything that we've been talking about today.
And I think probably Wendy teaches it, I would guess.
Yes, I think so.
And she always has fun with people. So
yes.
It's a fun class. Dr. Gervaro, I know you kind of dug into what kind of things that people should drink for best fertility. And I know often we have people coming in and they're drinking, six cans of Mountain Dew a day or things like that. So what did the research show?
Well, we actually found that sodas, of all the different drinks that we examined, were actually associated with a high risk of infertility. And initially we thought it would be because that it would be the sugared sodas, because of their fructose content.
Right.
It would be just drinking. People would be doing just the same as drinking, as putting spoonfuls of sugar in their mouth. But it turned out that it was all types of sodas, regardless of how they were. So maybe there was some measuring issue, and people were reporting as diet sodas that were actually not diet, or maybe there is something about sodas, regardless of whether they're diet or not, that is affecting fertility. So so sodas were the one drink that jumped as potentially very, very harmful for ovulatory function and fertility.
So when you compared that to a glass of wine, the soda was actually worse then?
Oh, yes. Yes, sodas were worse. We actually did not see any association between alcohol and infertility due to ovulation problems. Which was a little bit surprising given what other studies had shown in the past. But when we looked more carefully at our data and data from other studies, what we realized is that most studies, and I'm going to get into a bit of a technical detail now, most studies that have been conducted to date were what we call retrospective, which means that after you've had a disease, you come to the people and ask them what they've been doing, rather than what we did, which was asking people what they eat and then follow them and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And that can make a big difference in terms of study results, because sometimes people tend to remember better or worse Whereas if you're following people from the beginning, they don't have anything to remember.
Right. What did you find was the best thing for people to be drinking for pregnancy and fertility?
The best thing for people to be drinking. So we think that probably that's going to be water. It's mm-hmm. one of it's completely neutral. You're going to have to keep yourself hydrated, and just to be safe, given the previous results of studies on caffeine and on alcohol, even though we didn't find anything for either of these two substances. We think it would be safe to keep your intake to either eliminate or keep it at very low levels. Sodas were definitely bad, and the other drink that we examined with some detail was water, and it was completely unrelated to fertility. Mm-hmm. So we know it doesn't either increase or decrease your fertility, and you're not going to be putting anything unusual or anything that might be affecting your fertility when you're drinking water.
So how about coffee? I mean, did you...
Coffee was actually a very interesting story. So many, more than a dozen studies actually have found that coffee is related to lower chances of fertility. But there's actually been other studies that have found the exact opposite, that coffee increases fertility in some women. And we wanted to tackle this question again, especially because of relatively recent findings suggesting that coffee might actually improve the body's ability to respond to insulin, which, based on what we found on other nutrients, you would expect that would actually improve ovulation rather than suppress it. And what we found was that there was no relationship at all between coffee intake and infertility due to ovulation problems. When we thought, well, maybe we didn't classify coffee as finely as we should have. And we tried to analyze this relationship in very many ways, and no matter how we did it, coffee and other caffeinated beverages were unrelated to fertility in our study.
You know, I think one of the things that brings to my mind with that discussion is that, you know, you see, if you go to any coffee house, you see most women will step up and they will order a latte skim milk
with some sugar.
But in reality, they should be ordering a coffee latte with whole milk so that they would get their whole milk and it would possibly increase fertility. And we know, I mean...
And without the sugar.
Yeah, right, with no sugar.
With no sugar. And we certainly, when we're teaching classes, we've always taught people to get the whole milk, and they just go, they have a hard time with that because mm-hmm. they still think that they're going to be gaining weight if they put that whole milk in, but actually it lowers the amount of sugar that's in that milk, and it lowers that insulin resistance and that insulin response. So it's hard to kind of change people's thought pattern on some of these things and to make that shift. So that's... But I love that discussion on the different things that you found as far as what... And soda is actually the worst thing.
Right. And diet doesn't matter. A lot of women think they're doing better with diet, but this is a great example that either one isn't good.
So,
at least in our study, that was the case. When I first saw the data, I said, well, this surely is a sugared soda issue. But it turned out that no matter how we split sodas, they all seem to affect fertility.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Shvargo, we're going to have to take another quick break. But when we come back, let's talk a little bit about exercise. What's the best? So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutritional counseling and education for fertility issues. One of the leading causes of infertility is polycystic ovary syndrome. The underlying cause of PCOS is insulin resistance from eating basically too many processed carbohydrates. So if you have PCOS, I recommend an individual two-hour consultation to help you learn how to rebalance your body. So for an appointment, you know, call 651-699-3438, and we'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we are so pleased to help people with fertility issues because we know that this can be a very tough thing for a lot of people. And, you know, we really do have great success with people who are eating real food in balance throughout the day and have found that that has been the key solution for many, many couples to help them get pregnant. And I can think of one that I worked with a couple years ago who came to me, and she had been doing a certain eating plan, which was pretty low fat, pretty low protein, and we got her balanced out with real fats, real proteins, good carbohydrates, and she was able to get pregnant. And it, for her, it didn't take too long. She was pretty young, but it works.
But we have really appreciated having the Fertility Diet book mm-hmm. to follow and to know that the research supports some of our belief systems, and then we're able to fine-tune our skills better with people. And so, Dr. Shavaro, we really do appreciate mm-hmm. the fact that you spent all this time and put all this work into this book, and the fact that you actually took time out to be on our show today.
Right.
We do
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. We were... Now, talk a little bit about exercise. We probably have about a couple of minutes left of the show. So kind of give people an idea of what they should be doing for exercise.
So I think that the key for exercise is really balancing exercise with your body weight. We know that for women who are already lean, exercising a lot can actually harm them and can actually make it harder for them to get pregnant. However, most of the women and most of the people in the United States are not lean, as we know. So for the majority of people, and in particular for women who may be overweight or obese, exercising vigorously is actually very, very beneficial. And what we found in our research is that exercising vigorously so that you sweat for at least 30 minutes a day actually reduces dramatically the risk of infertility due to ovulation problems. Part of this is due to the effects on body weight. We know that overweight and obesity are associated with higher infertility, but it also has to do with the effect of building muscle. And by building muscle, you actually improve your body's ability to respond to insulin. So for the overwhelming majority of people out there, exercising vigorously for at least 30 minutes a day is the answer. If you're trying to get pregnant and you're too lean, you have a body mass index below 18.5, so you're extremely lean, exercising a lot can actually harm you more.
Thank you for being a guest today, and thank you for listening. Join us next week at 8 o'clock in the morning. See you then.